Howdy ho, neighbors. How are you doing this day? Pray you are doing well. Even amidst all this, the craziness of our current day, I pray you're doing well. The perspective is you are alive. You have breath in your lungs. A thinking mind, a beating heart, eyes that see, ears that hear, a mouth that can speak. You got that? You got something good. But if you got Jesus, man, you got everything you need. Crazy as this world can get, and it will get worse. If history's taught us anything, the great void of godlessness is filled with craziness, wickedness, evil. So, if we have Jesus, we'll be okay. Even if you're the last man standing. If you got Jesus, you'll be okay. Stefan Maier is my name. AddedSouls.com is the website. This pod vlog, episode number 22, titled Integrity. Integrity. Where has all the integrity gone? What about the chivalry? Where have all the good integrity people gone? We want to talk about that. I want to read a few verses there also. We're streaming live from the Riverview Church of Christ in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. That's way on the East Coast. Mariners. Man, we love our seafood. Our bilingualism. Our culture. But sadly, we are a people that don't love Jesus all that much. And we're paying for it, aren't we? The church that belongs to Jesus in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. I'm going to do what we've been doing here in every episode, which is go ahead and share the stream, the live stream, over in a few other places. By all means, if you see this and you want others to join us in this this content, this gospel material, you go ahead and do the same. Like, share, comment, watch party, whatever. It's not about sharing me, it's about sharing the substance of the message we want to proclaim, right? Be honest with you, I couldn't care any less about my popularity. I'm just the mailman, delivering the mail. All right, let's share it over there. Over on the Added to the Church of Christ Acts 2:47 page. And we're going to share it over on our private group here. Group, yeah. Added Souls, private group. Let's share it there as well. We're a bit early here. Well, actually, we're on time for once. Well, on time. My scope is all day. I want to produce a podcast each and every day, except for Sundays, of course, because Sundays we produce other things. We produce sermons and Bible studies and things of that nature. But from Monday to Saturday, if you've been following along, I'll produce a podcast. We'll talk about stuff from the Bible. We might touch on political stuff, social stuff. Hey, man, we're Christians and we live in this life, this earth, right? And we have to deal with the world. We are not to be of the world, but we're in here, so we have to know how to properly interact with the world in such a way that we will turn them towards the truth. And the truth is found in many facets, the most important truth in the scriptures, but the principle therein applies to Christian living under governing authorities, under our social conditions, our political conditions. You can't just do what some foreign denominational ideology would do, which is just hide in the middle of nowhere and pretend you're not walking this earth. You are. So we have to properly understand what we're supposed to do. And so, you know, we talk about all kinds of stuff. And so, yeah, we produce, I like to produce a podcast from Monday to Saturday, and it's typically in the morning over here when I do so. Could be between 7:30 to like 9:30 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time. For many of my friends down south, or in middle country area, I suppose, it's probably too early. You're not up yet, like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or something. So now we've shared the feed. We got a bit of an audience growing. And don't be fooled by Face Crack. They have us on the hit list. It's been a while. Our Christian content went viral, and since then it has offended many leftists. And because of that, we've been reported. So what they do is they manipulate the number of the audience so that it would discourage you from tuning in, being like, only two people are listening. It must not be important. I won't tune in. It's strange, but that's the science behind the human mind, right? Oh, a whole bunch of people are watching. I must tune in and see what it's all about. So Facebook manipulates the numbers. And again, if you know me, you know it matters not to me. But one individual is paying attention and being encouraged with me and challenged with the scriptures. The purpose I have walking this earth is being fulfilled, and I have obligation to the good news and our Master Jesus Christ. And though I can't earn my worth in that manner, I would like to think God is pleased with what we do, right? I would like to think that the scriptures reveal this purpose being pleasing to God. So, whether 5,000 individuals are watching or one individual is watching, the purpose of the gospel is being shared. The truth is out there. But just know, Face Crooks is definitely hating on us. And to be honest with you, perhaps the age of social media is about to crash anyways. I wouldn't sweat it if it did. I'd just keep doing what I do. I just wouldn't be able to use this venue. I'd use another venue, some other way to get the message out there. Okay, so yeah, Facebook doesn't share this kind of content. It won't send you off many notifications, if you will. They want to keep it hush-hush. They hate us. Our pages have been deplatformed. We've had strikes. We've gone against community standards. We are guilty of hate speech. tisk, tisk, tisk. What a crazy world. So this is episode 22, and we're going to talk a bit about integrity, and we want to become better Christians. We want to have a more effective example in our local congregations. See, the local congregation belongs to Jesus Christ. If, of course, it bears his name, it has its plan of salvation and his form of worship, conduct, speech, behavior, all those things. If you can see what the Bible says within his local congregation, then it belongs to him indeed. And that's important. That's important. Because there's a lot of people creating their own religion, their own ways, building their own churches with their own doctrines. We don't want to be part of that. Because God did not plant those plants, and those plants will be uprooted. No, we want to be part of the kingdom, the church, the called out ones, the body. The assembly, the congregation that belongs to Jesus Christ. Integrity within the local congregation and your membership therein, your loyalty to the local congregation. You're not a church hopper, are you? I don't like what they say here. They've offended me here. I'm just going to jump to the church down the line there, and they'll welcome me because they're always looking for more numbers. We don't care about more converts. As long as we get more numbers, then that'll work. So we're going to accept everything, and I'll just church hop for a while. Don't be that guy. Don't be that Christian. Finds a congregation overcritical about it in a matter of a few months. Finds fault in everything. You know, the speck in everyone's eye. While the individual Christian here who finds critique in everything negative has a log sticking out of his forehead. So I'm going to jump ship. I'm going to go to another church and just float around. I've seen many of those Christians. They think they're going to heaven. It's sad. They truly have this false sense of hope that they're going to heaven. But they aren't. Well, Stefan, how can you say that? How do you know that? Because I have the Bible. Wake up, McFly. Because I have the Bible. The Bible says. The Bible says these individuals, these Christians, our brothers and sisters who do that, aren't going to heaven. There's a lack of integrity there. There's a lack of integrity taking place with these individuals because he can't have any dependable relationship with them. There's no perseverance. They always remain in shallow water. It's vain. There's no depth of commitment. There's no integrity in them. They just float around. Hey, we've not seen you for 20 years. Where you been? Oh, you know, floating around. But I'm still a Christian, don't worry. I've been baptized. No. I'm afraid you need to repent. I'm afraid you stand condemned. You're lost. See, they go to a certain congregation. They find critique, they criticize, they find fault. They never see the log sticking out of their forehead. They go down the line and go to another congregation. I'm happy to hear that there are some elderships in some areas of the world where the church has more influence that have communicated with each other and said, this brother here has been church hopping. What he does is he goes to a congregation and he'll make this plea that he's been unlawfully judged by the other congregation and that they mistreated him and he's so poor and lowly and humble and they're just so mean. And then because the congregation again wants numbers and not converts, they'll warmly welcome in and say and judge by appearance and be like, oh yeah, they must have been so mean over there. You're welcomed here. Well, I'm happy to hear that some congregations got wise to that and some elderships who understand the value of discernment, the value of righteous discernment and division. They understand it. They get in contact with each other and say, hey, listen, we got a problem with a brother or a sister who's been doing this. So if they show up at your door, tell them they need to repent, turn around, and go back to their local congregation here. Well, see, they'll do that. They'll be overcritical. Or if they're given any tasks, you know, hey, listen, we need an able body here in this local congregation to step up to the plate and help us with the work. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. They're always off, right? They're always gone on vacation somewhere. There's never an allegiance, a loyalty to the work. They're never stepping up to the plate in order to help. They're always just bouncing around. I've seen them. In my limited experience, I've seen them. I've seen many of them. Some of them are very kind. Some of them can have a very kind heart. But when it comes to the duty of submitting to one another, and placing membership, meaning your loyalty, underneath the eldership there in order to be productive and be called to task. No, I don't want that. Or you'll find, again, which is what I found the most general brother who does this or sister. They're just overcritical of everything. They're there to find fault. They are there to entice anger. They're there to cause division, whisper in your ear. They're there to go see what they can find in fault and then go down the church down the line and just gossip. I know congregations who are drenched in gossip and they don't even see it. And because they don't even see it, they've lost the God-given instruction to discern right from wrong. They can't identify a spiritual threat if it was pounding them straight in the face. enamored in gossip, whispering everywhere. Where's the integrity of the Christian conduct? Where's the integrity of the Christian mind? We must have integrity. Scriptures has a lot to say about integrity. Integrity goes further and further, and we can talk about many. It's important we know this because I think we've lost it. We are so debased, immoral, loose. The language we speak is very worldly, filled with euphemism, crass. It's not the proper language. I was talking to some of my family members there the other day. We were having fellowship together. It was my daughter's birthday, and we were all together, and we were having a discussion about religious things, and we were saying, you know, talking about certain words that we so flippantly use, and we're not mindful of it, and we don't pay attention to it. But if we did, we'd soon realize that the words we use have meaning. I had a podcast about the language of Ashdod. You should check that out. But you see, as Christians, let me give you this one. What we were talking about here with my family members the other day. You are given the description of Christian when you are born again. See, Christian is not something you've given yourself. Oh, I'm a Christian because I decided to call myself that. It don't work that way in the Bible. Now, it does in the world. And denominationalism, the deviation, deviance from the beaten path that was given in the scriptures, those who have deviated from that in their worldview and ideology have now created this division. And within the division, they would self-title themselves Christians. Oh, I'm a Christian. I've had Mormons stand at my door. 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, not married, no children, calling themselves elders, right? Of course. I've had these individuals call themselves Christians. Now, these individuals don't even believe in the authenticity of the Christ and who he is described as in the scriptures. They don't believe that, but yet they still call themselves Christians. Now, that's something new. I don't remember them calling themselves that in the past, but you see, they self-title themselves. Well, to be called a Christian is not given by the mind of a man, a natural man. It's given by a divine source. When you are born again out of water and the Spirit, as a repentant believer, confessing Christ as your Lord and Master, you qualify to the conditions commanded in the Scriptures to be immersed in water, fully buried, immersed, submerged, plunged, dipped, baptizo, in water, with the authority of Jesus Christ, through the power of his blood and resurrection, you receive the forgiveness of your sins. Therein, Jesus will save you there. He will operate on you in that watery grave. Not because there's any power in the water or in the individual who's going to help you go in the water. It's Jesus that saves you there. Well, everyone who does that, who understands the uniqueness of the church, has been taught about the kingdom and repentance and the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, is immersed in Christ, clothed with Christ, comes up out of the water, a newborn child in Christ, added to the kingdom of Christ, and has now been given by God. This was prophesied in the days of the old. In the dispensation of the prophets, this was prophesied. God himself gives you the name Christian. You are now a Christian. See, that's why Christians know what kind of questions to ask another who claims to be a Christian to see if he is indeed a Christian. I had an individual the other day I was studying with who would call himself a Christian. And I said, well, what did you do to become a Christian? What changed in your life? What took place? What conversion took place? Well, I was born in the church, and I just grew up in the church. Okay, but at what moment did you become a Christian? At what moment did God make you a Christian? Well, when I was when I obeyed the Ten Commandments. You're not a Christian. You may have told yourself you are. Perhaps other religious individuals you trust, preachers, teachers, mom, dad, pastors, priests, I don't know, may have told you you're a Christian, but God has not made you a Christian. He took a bit of an offense, but began asking questions. Well, how dare you tell me I'm not a Christian? I mean, I'm a Christian. Okay, well, if you're a Christian, show me in the Bible where you became a Christian. At what moment in your life did you were you saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, and it led to a further discussion. But the point is, you can't make yourself a Christian. God makes you a Christian, and you are made a Christian when you obey the gospel, and you are born out of water in the Spirit. Here's the point. I hope you've been following here. When we are made Christians by God to obeying the conditions that he has laid out through his grace and mercy in the scriptures, we are also now given another language. We are given a language, a Christian language. See, we think at times, okay, good, we've been made a Christian. Okay, good, we're saved and everything, but we're going to keep the language we had prior to our new birth, our newness of life. We keep the old language, the language of the world, and we try to mix our old linguistic behavior, which was of the world, into now this new location where the saved are gathered. And because of that, it pollutes the language. Friends, listen. Please listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says we have been given a new language by God, and we must learn how to speak that language, the language of the Christ. And the language of the Christ has high standard of integrity, and it has a high standard of linguistic precision. We go away from using the language of the world, and we draw near to the language now that has now been given to us by God, the language of the Christ. It has no euphemism. It has no crass or strong language. It has a language that is accurate. That's important because many Christians use denominational wording and language, worldly phrases, worldly language, euphemisms. That belongs to the world. That don't belong in Christ. I speak to myself. You have to remember where I come from and my background. Every other word I spoke was an F word or a, you know. I had to train my mind. It's something you produce fruits of repentance with. You learn to bite your tongue, think, and say, you know what? I don't think I should use that kind of language anymore. And it gives you individuals, unbelievers, and immature or unfaithful Christians will have a sense of respect for that. They'll identify the kind of speech you have as something closer to what the Bible reads. It's important for us to go away from the language of the world. There's integrity in that. An individual who's always conveying his message laced with all sorts of foul language tells me he is either A, the individual is ignorant beyond any reasonable doubt, you know, or reasonable conversation. Or, again, it's just been drilled in that somehow sounds cool or something because Hollywood. So, we want to talk about integrity. We've been talking about integrity. We're going to go through all the branches here. Integrity, you want verses. Proverbs has a lot of general truth regarding the poetry of integrity. Whoever walks, whoever lives in integrity, walks securely. There's a sense of security. There is an extended security to the individual, the Christian, who lives his life with integrity. However, He who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Proverbs 10:9. What about Proverbs 28:6? Better is a poor man who lives his life in integrity, with integrity, than a rich man who's crooked in his ways. I'd sooner trust the bum down the road if he has integrity than the highfalutin multi-billionaire whom you can't even turn your back to. Might stab you there. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides them. The faithful Christian is guided by the integrity of the Scriptures. Teaches us the instruction of how we are to live a life filled with integrity. But the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. The crooked are destroyed, the treacherous are destroyed, but he who walks with integrity, that's a good thing. That's a righteous thing, right? Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Proverbs 19:1. See, language means something, doesn't it? There's integrity in language. You can use integrity in all facets of the Christian walk. That's important. That's important. The righteous who walks in his integrity. Proverbs 20:7. Blessed are his children after him. And on it goes, right? Many, many verses teach integrity. The Bible teaches the principle of integrity in many other areas. It's important. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. You can be dependable with integrity. You can be dependable with integrity. You can be on time. You can be on time with integrity. Integrity will allow you to be on time on Sunday morning before worship starts. It'll allow you to be on time Wednesday evening before Bible studies. Because integrity will have you thoughtful of the fact you need to be present and on time. That encourages the Christians that you are going to be assembled with. Don't be the Christian brother or sister where everyone says, yeah, they're going to show up about 10, 15 minutes once worship starts. Yeah, they're going to show up about 10, 15 minutes once Bible study starts. Don't be that Christian. Be on time. The integrity of time is important. It's dependable. We need to know we can depend on each other. He will be here on time. He's never late. As a matter of fact, if he's late, we best contact him and see if he's okay. Because either he's not okay, he's sick, or something's happened along the way. Yeah, but it's not my fault. There's always a traffic jam, isn't there? There's always a flat tire. You know what happens if you leave a bit earlier? If an obstacle is found in your way, you'll have the time to persevere through it and still be on time. Christian integrity makes sure that you see the priority of your task, being on time to go worship God, being on time to go study the Scriptures. You know what that means sometimes? That means sometimes, well, not sometimes, every time you go to bed early on Saturday evening. Uh-oh. Yeah. See, if you go to bed at 3, 4 a.m. on Saturday evening, how do you expect to wake up in a few hours and be wide-eyed and ready to go worship God? Full of your wits. See, integrity makes sure that you go to bed at a decent hour on Saturday evening so you can be ready. Active. Productive. On Sunday, our Lord's Day. Integrity will teach us how to do that. Integrity teaches us the discipline of remaining seated and paying attention to worship. Why is it that we can't go to the washroom or we stop in our path, in our ways, when A prayer is being said, but, you know, as far as singing to God, or as especially the sermon. Oh, the sermon's the perfect time to just get up, go take a little walk to the washroom and just, you know, look in the mirror there and go back. Because you were falling asleep, right? Where's your integrity? Where is our integrity? You go to the washroom before, you go to the washroom afterwards. Yes, 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 yes. I am well aware there are individuals, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, who have conditions. They have to go to the washroom when it calls. I know that. Stop trying to signal the virtue there. I'm speaking about individuals who lack integrity. Individuals who are not dependable. Christians who need to repent. See, a Christian who pays attention is going to remain seated because he sees the importance of what's taking place in worshiping God, in prayer, in singing, in the memorial of our Lord and Master, the Supper, and in the sermon being proclaimed, the words of God being proclaimed. A Christian with integrity has gone to bed at a decent hour Saturday. He's well awake on Sunday. He is a participant. He is interactive. He is producing a worship in spirit and truth with the right mind and the right doctrine. And it is so encouraging to the others. But the other guy, the other brother or sister who don't have that, who hasn't learned the importance of integrity, he's a discouragement. He or she is a sloth. It's just a pain. They're late, so when they come in, they disrupt everyone. And then they sit down, and of course, they forgot to turn off their phone. So you're going to hear beep, 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 beep in the middle of worship. And if that's not bad enough, they might even, I've seen this, they might even take out the nail clipper and start clipping their nails. Or check the phone, see what's going on Facebook. Or fall asleep and start snoring. I'm not beyond the idea of bringing a Nerf gun from the pulpit. And when that individual starts to act up like that and be a delinquent, you shoot him. Shoot him with the Nerf gun. I mean, if they want the platform, let's give it to them. Here's a spotlight. Hello, McFly. Integrity is important. Being on time is important. Being attentive is important. Holding the door open. Welcoming individuals in, the Christians, the visitors. That's important. Opening and closing doors is important. Saying thank you. You're welcome. That's important. Being dependable. Knowing we can count on you. And that your speech will be the language that we've been given by Christ. Tipping the waitress. Giving a tip to the waitress. That's important. And don't be cheap. Give above and beyond. And put a gospel track in there while you're at it. You think the waitress is going to soon throw away the card, the website, the gospel content or contact you've put within a sizable tip? No, they'll check it out. And it lets them know you appreciate them. We all know the systems, the system of taxing and everything's crooked. And so you go for a $10 meal and you end up paying $30. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you should know that prior to sitting down at the restaurant table. You got to tip the waitress. Things like that show integrity, dependability. You can depend on individuals. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. What's wrong with that? I don't hear that anymore. Matter of fact, the kids out there are crazy. They're not shown any respect. They've got no integrity. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Integrity won't have you cheating on your test. It won't have you cheating on your taxes. It won't have you stealing stuff. It's very easy to pirate stuff on the internet, isn't it? Movies and music and everything. Where's our Christian integrity? Dependability, conduct, speech, behavior. Friends, it's important. Christians who have integrity are not going to be soon snatched into the popular wagon of the day. Oh, and we have a lot of problems with that these days, don't we? With the riots and the leftists trying to keep racism alive. Where's their integrity? There's no Christian integrity in jumping on that bandwagon and causing more division in the country, encouraging the riot. Where's our Christian conduct and speech and integrity? Are we contributing to racism? Or are we helping it go away? Christian with integrity won't judge by appearance. I see so many Christians these days who judge by appearance. They see a video and immediately make a judgment off of an appearance. When the truth is, more information comes out proving that they were foolish to make that immediate assumption. Are Christians to be that way? There are many friendships who have been severed and broken these days over the lack of Christian conduct, speech, and integrity, dependability, because they allow the world to dictate their thoughts. And then you have all these hyper-liberal Christians in the church who are so quick with their white horse to stroll in the news feed with their virtuous pestilence. Go away. Go away. You're not helping anything. You're blind. Where's the Christian integrity there? I have to work on my Christian conduct, my speech, my behavior, my integrity. What makes you so special that you don't have to work on yours? I have to work on mine. Christian integrity is most important, and it's so lacking today. I've noticed that. It really is. It really is. It really is. We need to be on time. We need to be attentive. We need to be willing to open doors and close doors. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You're welcome. You don't cheat on stuff. You don't cut the corners. You do the work. You become dependable. Someone who's dependable with his evangelism, his benevolence. There's a men's meeting. There's a woman's class. There's a woman. You're on time and you're attentive and you're ready and you're productive and you've planned for it on the calendar. Christian integrity. A brother or sister who has integrity sets their calendar according to the church's platform and growth. How many Christians have I seen look at the Christian, at the local congregation's calendar and say, well, I can't there, I can't this, I can't that, I can't that, I can't this, and I can't do any of those dates because I'm busy with the world. You don't fashion the calendar to the world. Christian integrity makes sure that you adhere to the growth of the congregation and that you are there, you are attentive, you are present, you are active, you are joyful. You present a very positive influence. Christian integrity means you go visit the shut-ins. May bring them food. Have a coffee. You contact those who may be weak. Those who may have fallen, who have hope in wanting to be renewed. Christian integrity is kind to each other. Forgives each other. It's dependable. You can count on that. There are some you can count on, and there are some you can't. What about the 10 virgins? Parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were fools. That meant 5 of them were dependable and had integrity, 5 of them weren't. It's important. It's important. Friends, this will conclude our podcast broadcast here, episode 22, regarding integrity. My name is Stefan Maillet. AddedSouls.com is the website. We hope and pray that you are challenged, edified, encouraged, pierced with this content. It is scriptural. Again, you got to look past this ugly face. I'm a bit scruffy. I'm unorthodox, rough around the edges. Don't look at me. Look at the substance of the words I'm sharing with you. Okay? If you think there's value in that, you go ahead and share with others. Stay focused, stay positive. We shall most certainly meet again here next time, Lord willing, and God bless.